Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 949, is Bhima Parakrama, which means he who has terrific powers. Bhima was the previous name that we discussed in this series of names. There it was as a noun, proper noun, meaning he who is terrific, and here it is used as an adjective for parakrama. Parakrama in itself, the word suggests power, prowess, ability, valor, and Bhima means someone who's really got it in a high degree. So parakrama parakrami is a word which means someone who has tremendous power. And Bhima Parakrama means really, phew, really something amazing, tremendous ability. So they're very similar names. Parashabhata explains this name, this Bhima Parakrama, to mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, has terrific powers that strike terror in the hearts of demons who otherwise don't feel any fear from anyone. Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, they, by the strength of the boons they achieved, they felt themselves to be invincible. They felt themselves to be Bhima Parakrama, of terrible power and prowess. They could terrorize the universe. They thought that fear was something that they gave to others. No one and nothing could make them afraid until they came in contact with Bhagavan, direct contact. And then eventually, when it was too late, they realized that my death is upon me. Now, that doesn't sound like a very nice thing, does it? Someone who's fearful to all. If we think about the two most famous names among the demons of the 20th century, Stalin and Hitler, they struck terror. They caused fear to so many. And they were very powerful also within the limited scope of our Kali Yuga so-called civilization. But the Bhima Parakrama, the terrible powers of Bhagavan, they are beneficial. He exercises them for the benefit of the universe, especially for the pious people, by keeping the demons, the demoniac people, under some kind of restraint. Paritraṇāya sādhunam vināśāyata duṣkṛtām dharma samstharpanātāya sambhavāmi yuge yuge. Krishna keeps dharma in the universe, or he reestablishes it. He puts the dharmic order, the cosmic order, back in order by uplifting the devotees and quelling the otherwise unrestrained demons who, like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, if they think they can get away with anything. And they could, practically, until they met their nemesis in the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And being so fearful and terrible to the demons is also beneficial to the demons, because it keeps them under control. It's like keeping them a mad person, someone who's haunted by evil spirits, keeping him tied up to stop him from hurting himself. Someone who's haunted by a ghost, they may jump off a parapet, or they may scrape their face with their fingers and harm themselves apart from harming others. The previous name, Bhima, was explained as the Lord is terrible to those conditioned souls who don't follow the path of Dharma. Whereas this name, it's very similar. It refers to those who are not just some ordinary conditioned souls who are demoniac, but real hardcore demons who themselves have considerable parakrama, considerable power, and they are intent to do harm to others. So for such demons, Krishna manifests as Bhima Parakrama. Shankaracharya explains this. Bhaya hetuf parakrama asya iti bhima parakrama. His parakrama, his ability, his virility is such that it makes it causes fear even in those who are otherwise not afraid of anything. He explains the name, Shankara explains the name as Bhagavan causing fear in the hearts of the demons. I'm going to read a section from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, which is, of course, based on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Kamsa, he knew that the 8th child of Devaki was to kill him. And he understood that this was Krishna. And he was always afraid of Krishna. And Krishna was often in Vrindavan. Kamsa would send so many of his henchmen and henchwomen to kill Krishna. But now that very same Krishna at Kamsa's behest had come into his own capital and was coming towards him, having killed the terrible demon who had taken the form of the elephant Kuvalayapura, and now he had broken the bow of Lord Shiva. Srila Prabhupada, he's getting closer and closer to Kamsa. He's coming close to Kamsa. Srila Prabhupada explains it. When Kamsa came to understand about the breaking of his wonderful bow and the killing of the caretakers and soldiers by Krishna. Oh, actually, at this point, Krishna hasn't killed Kuvalayapura. It's the day before. When Krishna came to understand about the breaking of his wonderful bow and the killing of the caretakers and soldiers by Krishna, he could partially realize the power, parakrama, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He, Kamsa, could realize that the 8th son of Devaki had appeared, and now his, Kamsa's, death was imminent. Thinking of his imminent death, he was restless the entire night. He began to have many inauspicious visions, and he could understand that Krishna and Balaram, who had approached the precincts of the city, were his messengers of death. Kamsa saw various kinds of inauspicious signs while both awake and dreaming. When he looked in the mirror, he could not see his head, although, of course, the head was actually present. He saw the luminaries in the sky in double, although there was only one set factually. He began to see holes in his shadow, and he heard a high buzzing sound within his ears. All the trees before him appeared to be made of gold, and he could not see his own footprints in dust or muddy clay. In dreams he saw various kinds of ghosts being carried in a carriage drawn by donkeys. He also dreamed that someone gave him poison, and he was drinking it. He dreamed also that he was going naked with a garland of flowers and was smearing oil all over his body. Thus, as Kamsa saw various signs of death, these are omens of death. Kamsa saw this while both awake and sleeping. He could understand that death was certain. And thus, in great anxiety, he could not rest that night. But remember, this is all good for Kamsa, ultimately. This fear in the heart of his enemy is for his good, because by constantly worrying, deep anxiety about Bhagavan's Bhima Parakrama, Bhagavan remains in their minds always. And even though the mood of the demons is inimical to Krishna, somehow or other, by thinking of Krishna, they become purified. In this regard, we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kamad Dveshad Bhayat Snehad Yata Bhaktyeshvare Manaha Avesha Tad Agang Hitva Bahavas Tad Gatingataha. Many, many persons in the past have attained liberation simply by thinking of Krishna with great attention and giving up sinful activities. Ultimately, they give up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, hatred, fear, affection, or devotional service. So Bhagavan's punishment and his to the demons is for the removal of their sins and for their ultimately attaining him. And part of the punishment is not only the punishment that he gives them, but the fear he inspires in them. The demons, by their nature, they like to give fear to others. But Bhagavan inspires in them intense fear, so they get a taste of their own medicine. This conversation, this recorded from Bhagavatam, this is Yudhishthira asking how, he's asking Narada, how is it that persons who are so inimical to Bhagavan, they attain him in the end of their life? Because that was seen, Yudhishthira and so many others had seen that when Krishna killed Shishupal, the soul of Shishupal entered into the body of Krishna. He attained liberation in this way. So in reply, Narad responded, Gopya kamat bhaya kamsa dveshat chaidyadayo nripaha sambandhat vishnaya snehat yuyang bhaktya vayang vibho. Is continuing the discussion, which is going on. I just quoted that verse, that Narada had said that by lust, Krishna can be attained. By hatred, he can be attained. By fear, in so many ways. So then in this verse, which I just recited, he gave some examples that those who think intensely and constantly about Bhagavan, they attain him. For instance, the example is given, now Narada gives that the gopis of Vrindavan, by intense desire, appearing to be like lusty desire, they attain Krishna, the gopis, through intense enmity. And the example is given of Shishupal himself, and of course Kamsa, and so many others, that Dveshat chaidya dayo. Chaidya means Shishupal, and so many others, by hating Krishna, they attained him. Through extreme fear, an example is Kamsa, Bhayat Kamsa. Or through being related to him, the Vrishnis, the example is given, the Vrishnis, they were related to him, or through bhakti, through devotion, as in the case of us, the devotees, Narad says, and he's including Yudhishthira and so many others. Satyasandha Tirtha explains this name, Bhima Parakrama, as he who is the source of the parakrama, the power of Bhima and so many others. Though Bhima is not the only one who's Bhima. Bhima of the Pandavas, he's not the only one who's terrible. Rudra, by his very name, also suggests that he's very terrible and powerful. But the source of that terrible power is Bhima, Parakrama, Vishnu. Now we may wonder, why is it that we just had the name Bhima and now almost the same meaning in the next name, Bhima Parakrama? I thought about this and I thought that, well, Bhima, someone can be terrible in their attitude only. They can make a big noise, but they don't have anything to back it up. There's a saying in English that the bark is worse than the bite. The dogs bark a lot, but they mostly, most dogs, they can bark terribly, but they don't bite. They don't bite much. It's by barking, and you see their teeth, and it looks like they're really something terrible, but nothing much comes of it. There's a saying, comes from China, paper tiger, which refers to something or someone that appears to be very powerful and terrible, but actually it's not. It's, if you see you happen unknowingly to walk into a cinema set and you see a model of a tiger and you mistake it to be an actual tiger and become very afraid, then you just see, well, it's just a mock-up. This term, paper tiger, became known internationally when Mao Zedong of the Chinese Communist Party, the leader of China for decades, he used to use that phrase, referring to his political opponents, especially the United States of America, which was and is a very powerful country, but Mao Zedong mocked the USA by saying, "Oh, paper tiger." This phrase became first known in the West in 1946 when Mao Zedong said that. So someone may be very noisy or make a big fuss or try to fool you that they're very powerful, but they're actually not. So someone may be Bhima in their attitude, but they don't have the parakrama, the ability to back it up. Krishna has. So many demons, they saw Krishna and they thought, what is he? Just a little boy. They'd heard that he was terrible, but when they saw him, they didn't believe he actually had such power. But these demons, they never learn. You see, Kamsa sent one after another, and Krishna killed them one after another, and more came thinking, I'll kill this one. I'll kill him. And not considering that so many great demons before them had thought the same thing and been killed themselves. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains that Krishna appointed Baladev. He said by Baladev, hey, you look after these gopis here. I'm going after this demon. And Krishna ran after Shankarachura, smashed him on the head and killed him and brought back the Samantaka jewel. That's how Baladev explains this name. Shankarachura thought that, well, Krishna, he saw him, he just thought he's just some kind of innocent village boy. Which he was, actually, in one sense. He's an innocent village boy, but he's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shankarachura looked at him and thought, what happened to all those demons that were killed? What went wrong with them? How could they be killed by this little boy? He could hardly believe it, or he couldn't believe that he, who thought himself Bhima Parakrama, he couldn't believe that he could be overcome by this boy. So Krishna is not just Bhima in name only, but he shows it, really. And Kamsa, another example. Kamsa himself was Bhima Parakrama. He was terribly powerful. But now the real, original Bhima Parakrama was no longer a distant threat, somewhere away out of his sight, but right in his presence. Better be a devotee than a demon. Better to love Krishna. Otherwise, we have to suffer terribly. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.